Take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 5. Before we begin, just let me give a follow-up statement on what I had briefly mentioned earlier. I want to reassure all of you, our people, that the ministries of Black Road Baptist Church and the goal of Black Road Baptist Church is simply to present truth from God's Word. And the Word of God is really our only source of truth. It's not church tradition, as so often is the case with many people. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God that you've heard from us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And we can be certain that the word of God is true. It's not just a history book, although it is a history book. It's definitely not a book of fairy tales. It's not a book of legends, as many like to claim. It's the very words of the Almighty God Himself. And the goal of these ministries is simply to open up the Word of God and let it be our guide. And so, you know, whatever the subject matter of the day, whatever we're talking about, it doesn't matter what that subject is. It's always going to be approached from a biblical perspective. And so, with that being said, I want us to open up the Word of God and look into it today. Read these scriptures, explore God's truth, because it's still just as relevant today as it was when it was written thousands of years ago. And so, let's look at Luke chapter 12. The title of the message this morning is Meeting the Savior. We're on message number 6 in the miracles of Jesus, and today we're going to consider this next miracle. We find here in Luke chapter 5, also this same miracle is recorded in Mark chapter 1, also in Matthew chapter 8. But we find here the story of a man who the Bible says was full of leprosy. A man who was an outcast in society. He was condemned by everyone. But one day, Jesus came by to meet this man. And when he did, this man's life was changed forever. And so I want us to look in Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 12, and I want to point out some really interesting things about this meeting between Jesus and this man who was a leper, and consider some striking similarities between this man's need and the need of every man, woman, boy, girl, anybody who's ever lived or ever will live. And so let's look here, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, would you give us the ability today to exalt Jesus Christ, to point to him, to lift him up, and I pray that you'd open our understanding that we might see Christ for who he is today. And Lord, we do pray that you'd accomplish your will in each and every heart. Father, there are some who are without Jesus, who've never been saved. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would touch them today. Father, there may be other needs, and I pray that your Spirit would have full control, and Father, that your Spirit would have free course among us today to accomplish your will. And may each one respond with the right heart and the right response unto the Lord today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the first thing that I want to draw your attention to in this passage is that we see a man who is in a miserable condition. A man who is in a miserable condition. Verse 12 says, "It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him." Here was a man in a miserable condition, full of leprosy. The Bible says that he had a terrible, terrible disease called leprosy. Now, Luke is the writer here, and Luke is a physician. Luke is a doctor, and in his usual professional accuracy, he says that this man was full of leprosy. That's a very precise term that he uses that none of the other gospel writers use. And he says it in a precise manner, saying that he was full of leprosy when he came to Jesus, indicating that this leprosy was fully advanced, that it was probably in its last stages. This man's case was very severe. He probably didn't have very long to live, we could imagine, because his body was completely consumed with this disease. He'd been a leper for a long time. I'm sure that you have probably you probably have an idea of what leprosy is. Leprosy is an infectious disease that mostly affects the skin, but it causes it to rot, eventually working its way to organs and so on. Maybe you've seen pictures of somebody who's been infected or who has this disease. Maybe you've seen pictures of somebody whose body has been completely ravaged by this disease of leprosy. Many times it causes dismemberment because of the rottenness. Other times there are grotesque oozing sores and welts that grow on a person's body, often affecting the face. All over the place. This is the kind of disease that this man had. If we think about it long enough, it's really not hard to imagine. Think about it. It's not hard to imagine this man. If you see his body, his appearance, it's not hard to imagine him as some vile, disgusting, wretched-looking individual with oozing, grotesque sores all over his face. Maybe he's lost a hand or some fingers, and maybe part of his face he's missing because of this grotesque disease. It's not hard to imagine him looking this way. Not hard to imagine why he's an outcast from society, because this disease was incurable. There was one commentator that I was reading that described it this way: leprosy was nothing short of a living death, a corruption of all the members, a poisoning of the very spring of life, a dissolution little by little of the whole body, so that one limb after another actually decayed and fell away. That's a pretty graphic description, but a pretty accurate one. Think of this man and his condition. Back in Bible days, lepers were regarded as dead already because there was no hope. They were called unclean. They were castaways. And that was actually part of God's commands for the nation of Israel. Look with me back in Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. Here were God's instructions for the people of Israel in Leviticus regarding a leper. Verse 45. Leviticus 13 and verse 45. "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." We see these instructions that they were to dwell alone outside of the camp. It was something that was infectious. It could be spread. It could be contagious. And so you can imagine the quick response of the people to send one out. They're an outcast, stay away. And the leper was to cry everywhere that he went, unclean, unclean. No doubt people would see his man coming and they would turn and go the other direction for fear of even brushing up against him, mortified by his appearance, loathing and disgusting. You can imagine how alone this man probably felt his whole life, as long as he had this disease anyway. The lepers were to dress like a mourner going to a burial service, but it was their own burial service that they were going to. He had to constantly cry out everywhere he went, unclean, unclean. This man, no doubt, was in a miserable condition. But as we meditate on this scene, we begin to see a striking resemblance between this incurable disease that this man had and the incurable sin nature of human beings. Every person that has ever lived, that's ever come into this world, listen, has this incurable disease called sin. Sin, just like leprosy, listen, folks, is loathsome. It's disgusting, it's infectious, and it's polluted the heart of every man that's ever lived. And just like this man who was full of leprosy, we as mortals are full of sin. That's what the Bible teaches regarding human beings. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see how infectious it is. The truth of the matter is we're born that way, but it's polluted the heart of every person. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20 says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Proverbs 20 verse 9, kind of a rhetorical question. "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin?" Nobody. Romans chapter 3, we've been there many times. Romans 3 and verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." I think the Bible has made it very, very clear that we're all unclean in the sight of God because we're full of sin. The heart is corrupt. The heart is deceived. The heart is polluted. But you know, the Bible also declares that just like this leper who was considered dead already, he was already regarded as a dead man because of his incurable disease, so are we regarded as dead already because of our sin. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look in verse 1. Follow the wording here. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. "And you hath he quickened." The word quickened means made alive. And Paul is writing to church, the church at Ephesus, saints of God. But note what he says. "You hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You lived according to the will of Satan. You walked and lived according to the course of this world, which is full of sin, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Here we see it a couple of different times, the fact that in our sin we are considered as dead already. Colossians 2:13 says, "In you being dead in your sins." The Bible has declared that in our sinful state, we are already considered as dead men, without any hope, and we too are in a miserable condition. Just like this man. You know what? No matter how sin is fancied up, no matter how this man would have been fancied up, you know, you could put a new set of clothes on him, you could repackage him, you could even put a little bit of makeup on him to try to cover up the oozing sores. But no matter how you fancy him up, he was still vile. He was still wretched. He still had this awful disease, and he was still a dead man. And you know, no matter how much sin is repackaged, and no matter how much sin is fancied up, it is still vile. It's still disgusting. No matter, in God's eyes it is, no matter how the world takes it and tries to normalize it, it's still sin. It's still wrong. It still leads to death. No matter how much the world takes homosexuality and turns it into something that is good and something that is normal, it's still sin. No matter how much the world, you know, promotes and lauds, you know, sleeping around and shacking up, it's still sin according to God. You know, you're considered a prude if you remain pure before you're until you're married. I saw this article on Tim Tebow. I guess I don't know how true it ended up being, but the thing about it was that Tim Tebow's quote girlfriend left him because he wouldn't sleep with her. You're considered a prude if you have some moral standards to you. You're considered weird if you haven't lost your virginity by the time you're, 15 years old. If you've never kissed a boy. That's how the world thinks. That's good. I don't want to go back into your past and find out if you ever have. Just for clarification, I was referring to girls. But the world tries to fancy it up, tries to make it normal. But no matter how much the world does, it's still rotten and sinful and vile. It doesn't matter how it's repackaged. That's who we are. You're considered a player if you sleep around. And that's a, quote, good thing. Calling evil good and good evil. The Bible has declared that in our sinful state, we're considered dead. And all of those things, the world can repackage it all it wants, and people can justify themselves all they want, but it still leads to death. Sin brings death. This man was in a miserable condition, and so are we, because of sin. But look back in Luke chapter 5, what we note about this man is that he understood and he knew that he was in a miserable condition, which is far different than most people. He understood his condition, which led him, in verse 12, to a humble position. Verse 12, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him." Here we find that seeing Jesus caused this man to fall on his face before him. A humble position. You know what? He knew who Jesus was. He had heard about what Jesus had done. In chapter 4 of Luke, the Bible says that the fame of Jesus went into every place. So even though he was an outcast, he still heard about Jesus and knew who he was. So that when he saw him, he ran to him. In Mark, you can read about it. He ran to him and fell on his face before him. His humble position. He calls him Lord here. You note this? In verse 12, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He calls him Lord. He knows who Jesus is. But here's the principle, the thought. He also knows who he himself was. Unclean. The leper knew his condition was vile, and he knew who Jesus was, and it caused him to fall on his face. And do you know today, my friend, that that's exactly what needs to happen for each and every individual? There needs to be an understanding of how sinful and how vile we are. There needs to be a coming into the presence of Jesus so that the condition of our heart is made known and it causes us to humble ourselves before God. This only happens as we come into contact with the truth of God. People will live and justify themselves and live however they want to live. But when they come into the presence of truth and the Spirit of God starts to shine light on their vile condition, all of a sudden they begin to see who they really are and what they really are. Without the truth of God being shown, man lives on in darkness. He cannot see his own condition for who he really is. The problem, though, is that people won't humble themselves before God. That's the problem. There are far too many people who know who Jesus is, but they've never met him. They've never humbled themselves to him. There are too many people who are religious people who know all about Jesus. They know his power. They know his might. They've even seen a demonstration of his saving grace in the lives of other people. They know about his redemptive work at Calvary, but they've never really repented of their own sin. Even some people in this room today, you know who Jesus is. You've heard about the message of salvation. You've known the fact that the Bible says you're a sinner, that you're condemned, you're dead already! And you won't humble yourself before God. I think the truth of the matter is that if you're here today and you're not saved, it's not because you don't know truth. It's because you've not admitted your own vile condition. It's like a leper saying, I don't have leprosy. I don't have a problem. I'm just fine. That's what it's like. What? I don't have a sin problem. I'm going to be okay. And the truth of the matter is that it leads to death, eternal separation from God. Death is the end. This man, he knew his vile condition. He was keenly aware of the fact that he was going to die. And what did it do? It caused him to go and fall on his face before the one who could make the difference. That leads to what this man said. We see his miserable condition, but we also saw his humble position. It led to his earnest petition. Look at this in verse 12. He was full of leprosy. He seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here we see this man, the leper, gives a simple and earnest prayer. He simply says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In just these few words, we see the desire of this man's heart being made known. And it shows us two different things. First of all, it shows us that he truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, Lord, if thou wilt, it tells us he fully believed that Jesus could make the difference, that he could heal him. There was no doubt in his mind. The question is, Lord, if you want to, if you will, I know you can. I can't cleanse myself, but I know you can. In other words, he was confessing that Jesus was the Christ. He said, if you want to, or if you will, I know that you can cleanse this vile body of mine. I'm hopeless. It shows us that he believed on Jesus Christ. But the second thing it shows us the burning desire of this man's soul was just to be clean. That's all he asked, just to be cleansed. And the parallel here is the fact that if a person really, really understands their sinful condition, if a person really sees themselves for who they are, what are they going to do? The burning desire of their heart is going to be, Lord, make me clean. There is no other option. And so it tells us something. If a person continues on in their sin, in rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, they don't really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and number two, they don't see themselves for who they really are. They're, you know what? You play Russian roulette with your life, with your soul, with your eternity, as if it's not really real that you're going to die and spend eternity in hell. Every day that a person lives without Jesus Christ, once they have an understanding of truth, they play Russian roulette with their soul. They live in a fairy tale as if tomorrow is going to be the same as today. But you don't know that. Are you here this morning? You understand this truth? It's a serious condition. And if a person truly understood their condition before God, the burning desire of their soul would simply be to be made clean. I understand who I am. I don't have any hope. I need Christ. The blessed truth is all we have to do, friend, is simply confess that need of cleansing. Asking the Lord for his forgiveness. And just like this leper did, humble ourselves before the Lord, saying, Lord, make me clean. Then you know what happened to this man? After that, we see it in verse 13. We see that there was instant and perfect salvation. Cleansing. Look, he put in verse 13, he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now the Bible doesn't say this man got saved here. But what it does tell us is that his leprosy was gone. He was saved from this awful condition that he was in. Here's where we answer the two questions. Remember the two questions that we said in the beginning of this study, this series, that we're going to answer with every one of these miracles? Number one, what does it teach us about Jesus? And number two, how do we apply it today? Here's where we answer these two questions. This miracle, this healing, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. What does this miracle reveal about Jesus? Well, the Bible says that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. First of all, it tells us, it reveals to us that Jesus is a compassionate God. He's a compassionate God. Look with me in Mark chapter 1. In fact, Mark 1 tells us that this is the heart of Jesus. This is another recording of this miracle. In Mark 1, in verse 41, verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. It shows us that Jesus is a compassionate God. Jesus was moved with compassion, the Bible says here. The Greek word that is translated compassion, right here in Mark, is splanknizomai. And it means, listen, it depicts the emotion of pity. It depicts the emotion of love. So understand this. Imagine this scene. Here's a man whose face is probably full of sores. Maybe he's missing a limb or two. He's disgusting. He's vile. He's an outcast. He's been this way for a long time. He's probably at the point of death. Nobody wants to be near this person. He probably hasn't felt the touch of a human in years and years. And here's Jesus who sees him when everybody else goes, ah, at his appearance. Here's Jesus who comes to him. And not only does he stand in front of him, he touches him. He's moved with compassion on this man's condition. This word, compassion, suggests a depth of feeling. It literally means to feel with. He's feeling the pain that this man has gone through. He's feeling the anguish of soul that this man has lived with. The fact was that Jesus did care about this man. No matter what was in his past, no matter what he had done, Jesus cared about his condition. You know, the Jews thought that leprosy, they considered leprosy to be the finger of God. That's what they called it. It was the judgment of God on someone's life. That's what they called it. This is how people looked at this man. Jesus felt compassion for him. He was moved with feeling for him. He cared no matter what was in this man's past. He cared about him. And you know Hebrews chapter 4? Go there with me, Hebrews 4. And look at verse 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." These verses teach us that we have a high priest in Christ who sympathizes with our weaknesses, being tempted like us, yet without sin. And because of that, because he understands, and because he cares, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need because he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. We have a compassionate God. Listen, he remembers our frame. He knows that we're dust. He understands where we come from. He knows your struggles, child of God. He knows what you deal with. And because of that, he says, come to the throne. Come to the throne to find grace. In other words, you can stop beating yourself up over failures. Take it to the Lord again. Find mercy. Find grace. You know what grace is? It's divine influence on the heart. Take it to the throne of grace for more divine influence. You fail and you fail and you fail. Guess what you need to do? Stop trying to have victory by yourself and by your own efforts. Take it to the throne of grace for some divine influence to find victory. Because he cares. God's not in heaven standing over his children waiting for them to mess up to throw some lightning bolts into their life. He remembers our frame. He knows that we're dust. He sympathizes with our weaknesses, and his grace is abundant and readily available. He's a compassionate God. But also it shows us, not only is he compassionate, he was moved with compassion on this man for his condition. But it also shows us that he's a personal God. The Bible says here that Jesus was moved with compassion and he reached down and touched him. He touched him. He's a personal God. That touch was a true expression of real compassion. I was thinking about that. And this man's condition and how he had lived and what he had experienced in the loneliness that he must have felt. The doom of death that was imminent probably. The no hope. Just the complete hopelessness of this man. You know, as much as that leper needed and desired healing, his heart must have ached for the touch of another human hand. Can you imagine? How terrible it must have been for him that everyone who saw him would draw back at his approach. Who would loathe his appearance, who wouldn't even look at him, lest they be contaminated themselves just simply by brushing up against him. Jesus responded not only to what this man asked for, but the deepest longing of his soul too, with a touch. He's a personal God. It was a stunning demonstration of his power, because the Bible says that as soon as Jesus had spoken, immediately that leprosy left him and he was cleansed. It was a display of his power in this fact too, because according to the law, anybody who touched a person who had leprosy became ritually unclean themselves. According to the law. But the touch of Jesus Christ, it had the opposite effect. The one that had been unclean now became clean because of the touch of the Savior. Listen, here's the application. Jesus Christ is interested in you personally. No matter what's in your past, sinner. Some people say, well, I'm not savable. You don't understand what I've done in my past. It doesn't matter what's in your past. Jesus Christ has paid for your sin, and he's interested in you personally. He wants you for a relationship with him. It's easy to say that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and the sins of the whole world and never personalize it. That Jesus Christ loves sinners, he loves the world, and never personalize it. That he loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. He's personal. He wants to touch your heart. He wants to make you new because of you. That's the kind of God that he is. And this miracle reveals that Jesus Christ is a compassionate God, but he's also a personal God. He took time for this one man when there were multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people who came, who needed healing. He took time for him and touched him. He could have just spoken a word. Jesus could have stood far back from this guy, just like everybody else. And just spoken a word and he would have been clean. But he showed him compassion and he showed him that he was personal when he came right to him and he touched him and he made him clean. That's the kind of God that he is. He wants to touch your heart. How do we apply this today? Well, quickly, in Scripture, we know that leprosy is an outstanding type or illustration of sin. And just like leprosy, sin brings uncleanness. Sin always defiles. Sin always destroys. We are already defiled and already destroyed. Look in Mark chapter 7. And I'll finish up with this here. Mark chapter 7. Verse 20. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." This is a demonstration of the fact that our own heart is already defiled, and sin brings uncleanness. The things that we do come out of our wicked heart. Like leprosy, sin brings uncleanness. Also, sin causes separation. Our very character as sinners alienates us from the life and the fellowship of God. We don't have a relationship with God because of our sin. God is holy. He cannot look on sin, cannot dwell in the presence of sin. Our sin separates us from God. This man was separated from society. He was an outcast because of his condition. And the third thing that we need to remember here as we apply this is that sin is incurable, humanly speaking. There's no human cure for our sin. No amount of religion, no amount of good works can cure this thing, this sinful nature, this, if you want to call it this, the disease that we have called sin. There is no cure for it. This man was a leper. He was incurable. He was separated from society. There was nothing that he could do to save himself. And the very same thing is true for you and for me when it comes to our sin, my friend. It is sin that brings death and eternal separation from God. The only answer is Jesus. We don't have the time this morning to talk about the effects of this miracle. But one thing we do know is that it changed this man's life forever. When he was cleansed, when he was finally made whole, immediately he was made whole and the leprosy was gone. It changed his life forever, and no doubt it changed a whole lot of other people's lives too, because the Bible says that Jesus told him, "Don't go tell anybody what I've done for you." And what did he do? He went and published it abroad. You can read about it in Mark. He told everybody what Jesus did for him. And the Bible says in Mark 1:45 Jesus couldn't even, because of this man's proclamation, that multitudes and multitudes the more came to Jesus to be healed, so much so that Jesus couldn't even go into the town. He had to stay out in the desert. And people continued to flock to him for his healing touch. And so what I'm saying is, the effect of the miracle, not only did it change this guy's life, but it changed a whole lot of other people's lives too, because of the words that he spoke. And they went to the Savior too. The point is that the healing touch of Jesus Christ on your soul can change your life forever too. The question is, will you humble yourself before Him today? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, listen, isn't it time that you admitted your vile condition and your need? Why don't you just come to Him now? And let Him change your life. If you're here today and you're a child of God, remember that we have a compassionate God. We have a personal God who understands what we go through. Maybe you've been trying to do things on your own. It's time to come back to the Savior. It's time to trust in His grace, His divine enablement and influence on the heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these truths this morning. And Father, I pray for those who are without Christ today that the Spirit of God would work in their heart to draw them. Father, as You have touched people's hearts today with Your Word, I pray that they would respond. I accordingly. Father, that you'd get victory, glory in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.